What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Rugby Rant Podcast Show, your premier North American rugby podcast, growing rugby one fan at a time.
Welcome back, Rugby Rant fans. It's the Hammer, and I have got a super special guest this week. It's none other than USA National Men's 15s head coach, Scott Lawrence. He's in the house. He's coming to talk to you folks about what's happening in our developmental pathway and our Senior Eagles program. And we're excited to have him on today to just give us a rundown, an idea of what's going on, and talk a little bit about how the anthem fit into this piece. So we're going to get to it in just a moment. But first, Scott Lawrence, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate you having me.
Oh, no worries, mate. No worries. It's always a pleasure. I had to turn Dave Fee off. I had to send him away because a more important guest has joined the show. I know you and Dave are very familiar, but listen, for those that don't know or those that want to be caught up real quick, we're just going to, I don't know that he needs an introduction or any kind of background because most of the people listening know a little bit about Scott Lawrence, but for those that don't, U.S. Eagle himself, number 364, coached the USA U-20 Junior World Championship team in 2012. We'll kind of build that in here today. Coach at Life University, several national championships. U.S. Eagles assistant coach, he parlayed that, of course, into the USA Eagles interim coach and now head coach. We can't forget about his work in the MLR with Rugby ATL as both the head coach and general manager. So this guy is at the apex. He is the apex predator as far as coaches go in the United States. As much as I say that, he is a humble human being. But nevertheless, Scott, it's going to be great to have you on. I don't know. I think I could probably forego the run, pass, or kick. I'm pretty sure you're going to run with all these because you're just always happy to address what's going on in our Eagles program. So we're going to get right to it. First of all, before we do, I'm going to take a moment. If you haven't joined Super Brew, please do. Rugby Rant's got it going on with the help of Rugby Now, who power shop MLR. Jump in there. You can come in late. You can still win $25 gift cards each week to get yourself some sweet merch. And we're going to have a lot of fun with that this week. But let's get to the getting. We've got Scott Lawrence, and we're going to fire some questions at head coach Scott Lawrence. And the first one goes back to that title. In January, the interim designation was removed, and you were named the head coach of the Eagles. Did this add to the pressure or take some of it off?
I don't think it really changed. I mean, I think I just kind of woke up and did the same thing I did the next day. You know, it's I always feel an immense responsibility and gratitude to be able to serve the national team and all of our national teams from the 18s, the 20s, all the way up to the senior Eagles. So, yeah, no pressure at all, really.
Okay, so folks, he is not a normal human being. He operates at, again, that apex level. It's funny you mentioned the idea of gratitude, Scott, because there's another apex predator at the head coaching level, and that is Cale Sanderson, of course, head coach of the Penn State wrestling program. And he uses that term too, gratitude. You wear the jersey with honor. You wear the head coaching hat with honor. You serve it well while you're there, and you pass it on to the next person at some point. But you do the best that you can to honor it and honor those folks that support it. I love that idea. So let's move forward a little bit. A key piece to better preparation and results for the Eagles is time together and matches. I've had that conversation with Cam Dolan, of course, 66 cap, second row and eight man. Recently, the USAR announced its participation in the Pac Nations Cup. This will involve a tournament, folks, for those of you who don't know, six total teams, Samoa, Tonga, Fiji, Japan, Canada, United States, two pools, round robin, and then there's then two rounds of kind of knockout competition, if you will. Each team is guaranteed three matches. So, Scott, is this exactly what the doctor ordered, or is it a temporary fix?
I think getting more time together is absolutely essential, and the timing for us couldn't be better when we think about where the bulk of our playing base, what their playing calendar is, and how we can roll into that. You know, I think about these as a bunch of pieces coming together. We have our U18s, which will be going abroad again this year. They'll have a full summer between them doing, whether it's representative side or things with Salty Thompson on ERA tours, and then they'll come right into a USA Rugby tour, a lot of them, and that's a real plus. And then the 20s will also be happening during the summer while the Eagles are playing two test matches in July against Romania and Scotland. And so you have this playing base that's all kind of playing in preparation for what can be an incubator for the national team in terms of test matches over the next cycle. So you have, you know, not only good competition at home, but also, you know, a trip to Japan this year, which prepares them for more things. And then in November, they roll straight in and three more games where we'll play Portugal, Spain, and Tonga at the end of the year in Spain. So it really is what we need. There's a good number of test matches. There's ample rest period and recovery in between. And I think, you know, it fills the year now for our players.
I want to kind of go off the cuff a little bit, because as I listen to that lineup of matches, both for that July test window in the middle of the MLR season, the Pacific Nations Cup lineup, of course, that test window in November, I'm hearing a lot of matches that the United States Eagles should be really competitive. It'll both give us an opportunity to test our mettle against nations that we're right there with in the world rugby standings. And they should be matches that we should feel as a fan base when we're successful, and we will be, I have no doubt. When we're successful, we should be able to take a lot of pride in what our Eagles have achieved. My question is this, what about those matches that are against those tier one nations that a lot of people want us to have in a more regular, consistent basis? Are we going to find an opportunity to get some of those matches mixed in? Obviously not this year, but as we move into 2025 and closer to 2027.
Yeah, I think you'll see the conversation is always ongoing, and it is it's a bit of a Rubik's Cube, you know, that World Rugby has to solve, because there's a lot of nations that all have a desire to play tier one and so they've got to figure that out. So we have some preferences that we're communicating now to World Rugby in terms of what we'd like our competitive schedule to be like. You know, when you think about the upcoming Nations Cup rollout that's coming in a couple of years, we want to make sure that we're playing teams within that as well, to work our way through that competition and try and get to the top of that and compare ourselves in tier two during this 2027 cycle. And then, you know, your tier ones, I think for us, can be less often. We need them. It's a litmus test. They need to be the right ones. And we're working with World Rugby on that.
That's great news. And I know a lot of fans and a lot of players are itching for that as well. They want to be competitive. They want to test their mettle against some of the best in the world. And I think Scotland's a great one, at least this year, to be able to test ourselves. We have beaten them once down there in Houston, and they're playing really well, obviously, right now. So it'll be really good for us to see them. Let's get a little bit into the developmental component. It's something that you and I have touched upon for the last year, but early in your coaching career, let me get to this one first. With Rugby World Cup, speaking of that, 2031 and 2033, landing in U.S. shores in 7 years' time, you announced Moonshot 2031. Part of that was Project Mercury, and then now for the next 2 years, Project Gemini. What are these projects, and how do they fit into this buildup into Rugby World Cup 2031?
Yeah, I think we have a moonshot is something that is you can't do yet, and it's a big goal, you know. And we want to be in a position to win a quarterfinal at home in 2031. You have to back that up and put that into kind of macro size chunks in terms of objectives of how you want to get there, and then right down to the detailed task level of how you operate each week and month during a year. So the construct is, you know, and Mercury last year was about getting the infrastructure and the right people on board and setting the right intention and American identity. So, you know, things we did around that, 15s home in Charlotte, North Carolina. We now have a home for our 15s team with infrastructure and housing and access to facilities, which is fantastic. We hired a coaching staff that is full-time across the 20s, the academy, the anthem, and doing assistant roles and head coaching and assistant roles in the 20s, as well as some bit parts in the national team. So we have complete vertical alignment in terms of the people and the way that we want to go about. And that's what we aim to do in Mercury. And so, you know, we kind of accomplished that last year, right vehicles, right people, right identity established with former Eagles and current Eagles around what environments create the future generation that's going to go do this for us. So we started to plant that last year, and we closed out Mercury in January of this year. Gemini now is about taking that next logical step, and there's really three main parts to Gemini. And the first thing is the U18s and the U20s, we need to up the competition. So we'll be doing different tours for the 18s this year. That will be an improved level of competition. The 20s, we need to move from the Junior World Trophy up to the Junior World Championship. So we have a desire to win that in the next 2 years. So that's the first thing, is a focus on the 18 to 21 year old age group, because of their projection into these next two cycles, and to make sure that we're setting high standards and giving them lots of time and competitive opportunities. The second part is about increasing the player base in terms of the number of minutes and that we're getting seen at the professional level. So there's opportunities to do that. You know, the anthem is one piece of the puzzle, but there's also relationships and feedback and IDPs and cooperative development that happens for players we'd like to see in the Eagles. So that's point number two, is increasing the playing base with more regular minutes. The third objective is, you know, to play more games and to really, first and foremost, be the best forward pack in tier two by the 2027 World Cup. And I think we have the playing base, we have the mentality, and we have the athletes to go do that. But now we're backing that up and aligning that not only at the test match level where we can compare ourselves, but working with collegiate coaches, working with academy coaches and programs to measure that success, to put us in the best spot to be on the front foot at test match level.
Yeah, I want to go back to one of those pieces. You talked about that first of three kind of goals or objectives as a part of Project Gemini, and that was the U18s and U20s. Earlier in your coaching career, again, touching upon this, you led the Eagle U20s to a Junior World Trophy in 2012. So how important is it? I mean, we know the financial difficulties of USAR. We know the struggles that we've gone through bankruptcy. How important is it for our Eagles program and fans of American Eagles rugby to continue to support this endeavor for not only the U18s, but the U20s?
I think it's the biggest thing we have going on right now that we really need to get behind is this group, the 18s and the 20s. We've never had a more exciting group. If you think about it, Rob, AJ McGinty is the only professional starting American 10 in the playing pool right now. And when you look at this U20s group now, there's a 11 in that player pool of 50, nines and tens that are all very good players and will be competing hard to make the U20s. So that group is starting to catapult. There's three players that are getting regular minutes in the MLR at the U20 level. And then Corbin Smith just started on the wing for Gloucester in a friendly against Bath last weekend. And he's a U20 on the wing. So there is a group of really exciting players that are already accelerated. And when I look back at that 2012 team and the time that we had together, forget the win at the end, but the time and the relationships and the cohesion that was built, put players into professional rugby and Eagles in the future. Mikey Teo, Will McGee was on that team. Madison Hughes was on that team. These are regular Eagles and regular professionals that came out of that program. If they had only been in camp for 2 weeks, maybe not, they would have done what they did in their playing career. But we think about the time that these guys can be put in terms of the time in camp, international games, playing together, cohesion. It really is critical. And we still have guys that are new into the pool. Out of the 50 players, the top 50 players at the U20 level, 27 of them came through U18s and have played together before, so there's cohesion. But the big thing is 23 of them came in at the U20 level. So they came in at 19 and 20 years old into the squad, and they need that investment. They need that time, and they need that competition.
Yeah, most certainly. And again, I want to emphasize that we can all do a little part. These kids need an opportunity to grow and develop, and part of that is financial support. Whatever reservations folks may have, we know that this money will be well invested into our development program in preparation for 2027 and 31. I want to, get into that a little bit. You talk about getting these kids, young guys, an opportunity to be in camp, to train together, to play together, to get more minutes, actual competitive minutes. So, all in preparation for 2027 and 31. Materially, within the calendar, what opportunities, how can these guys, these kids, be prepared and get that kind of time they need in order to make their preparation fruitful?
Yeah, when you look at the way that the U20s have prepared now, so there was a winter camp in which a number of players came in. There is a network of coaches that the coaching staff of the 20s are working with to continue to identify and develop players. They're on extended programs through the national team coaching staff. And they're monitored. We check in on them every week. We know who's playing, how many minutes. We know their injury status and their health status. And all of those things, you know, are kind of going on remotely. And if you've been working from home for a long time, you know that Zoom only gets you so far. You got to get together. And the opportunity now is, as soon as college is over here and they can get together in May, there's an opportunity for us to put them together for 2 weeks in preparation to play Canada. And we need to win the two-game series in Canada on June 1 and June 8 up in Victoria. That will allow us to go on to the Junior World Trophy. So if you think about that, that's 3 weeks of time that they can have together preparing and playing two international matches. That unlocks the ability for them to have then another 2 weeks in prep and another 2.5 weeks for them if they go to Scotland in the Junior World Trophy with a goal of finishing in the top four. So when you add all of that up, you have this opportunity to have 7.5 weeks together, nearly just under 2 months of time of dedicated professional environment time for the players to be there. To put that in perspective, recently we did an analysis on a per player cost for us to do this, feed them, house them, coach them, fly them, bus them, do all of those things that need to do to have a high performance lifestyle. And it's, you know, over $16,300 per player for us. And not all of that comes from philanthropy. Of course, I'm investing in it from the high performance budget, but that's what it takes. It takes time, and they need to be fed, and they need to sleep, and they need to be coached, and they need to be taken care of medically. And that's the investment required.
Wow. It's almost, it's hard to wrap. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that when I, but it certainly helps breaking it down per player cost. Given that fact, it also helps me get a better idea of the fact that any donations that will be made, be it through philanthropic efforts or through partnerships, are going to be well spent getting those individuals ready to take on the world in 2027 and 2031. Folks, we're going to pay some bills here in just a moment. Hear a word from our sponsor. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the anthem and how the anthem, the MLR team out of the Carolinas, how that fits into the developmental pathway for USA Rugby. We know that it's being supported by USA Rugby and World Rugby. So Scott's going to talk a little bit about the anthem and give you a little bit more information about rugby. Anthem Rugby Carolinas. So stay tuned after we hear a word from our sponsors.
When we pick up the ball, we also pick up a legacy. A legacy that stretches beyond your current team. A legacy built on the backs of those who came before you with hard work. And for those who will come after you, we promise it won't be easy. But we'll be there, supporting you on and off the field.
And we're back, folks. Thanks again to Rugby Now, who power shop MLR. Go get your merch now while it's available. I have a feeling it's not going to last very long. I've tried the kit on, the Kappa kit. It's nice stuff, very good gear. Do size up if you're looking to buy some online from Shop MLR. Again, typically I wear the double X in the jersey, the Paladin jersey. I'm now in a triple X, and I thought I was losing weight. Apparently, not. But nevertheless, yes, size up. It's going to be helpful. In the jacket, I went up to a 4X. I normally wear a 2X. So just be aware of that, folks, as you start to buy your sweet merch from Shop MLR. Let's get back to Scott. Talk a little bit about the Anthem, the newest team in the MLR, of course, Anthem Rugby Carolinas, a product of a venture between World Rugby and USA Rugby. So Scott, on the note of development that we were talking about before we went to break, the Anthem Rugby Carolinas kicked off their first season in the MLR. We are now, as of this recording, just got through week two. How does this crop of young Americans in the Anthem program figure into the development of the USA Eagle program?
In the short term, it means that it's objective number two under Project Gemini, which is to increase the playing base. So there are certainly more Americans getting minutes with another team in the league. The development of the anthem, I think, remains to be seen. It's a venture. It's a commercial venture between World Rugby and Major League Rugby. I think how it serves the objectives that I have for the national team going forward, I think, is a bit of a TBD. There's going to have to be some significant changes in the player allocation and American players in that team for it to become fruitful. But right now it's in year one, and, you know, it came late. The key objective for them is to get started, and then we need to start making some pretty drastic improvements in that team for it to serve the national team pathway going forward.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how it goes. And I think a lot of, make no mistake, a lot of fans that I've talked to understand that this is a long-term approach. It's a long-term endeavor, and they don't expect the dividends to be paid right now, especially in terms of wins and losses. I think what they enjoy seeing is, just like you said, that player base being expanded, a lot of guys get an opportunity to play some quality minutes together. That being said, I have some real questions that a lot of fans that I've talked to have told me about, and they're twofold. Number one, how long has the anthem concept been a part of the long-term Eagles development plan? I heard just this recently that the anthem was not really supposed to take the pitch until 2025. That got bumped up because of the exit of Toronto and New York. And then secondly, can you just talk about how this conversation, how this anthem project developed and came about?
The anthem concept, in terms of having a team of predominantly American players playing together, is been around for a little bit. I think when you look at Penarol or Selknam, you look at Spain, Romania, Portugal, they all have one professional team where their best players play together, and that cohesion is a major factor in international play. So when you look at the top teams, the Black Lion out of Georgia, they all in tier two, all the World Cup qualifying teams have this construct. So it's a well-worn kind of thing. And so the idea was to actually create this. That's why we had the Hawks, and we were moving towards something in 2025. The original plan was that I wanted to establish the National Academy. I feel the again, this 18 to 21 year old group is massively important. We need to build a pipeline up into a professional team of U20s and U18s. But that funding was diverted to the anthem now. And so, that it just kind of a timing thing. And so now we're looking at different ways to continue to maybe leverage that team. And hopefully I can get some players and talk to the staff there about having some of the 20s and others be involved in that team.
Yes. It's funny. I mean, what's amazing is you have this. I knew that when you got the job, you were going to have an amazing plan already established in your head and how you wanted to transform the Eagles. And in spite of the massive undertaking and all the efforts, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you have to play the hand you're dealt at the moment. It's not unlike rugby. You play what's in front of you. And sometimes what's in front of you changes and you have to adapt and adjust your game plan to that, but you don't stray from the, you don't change your philosophy. And so for folks listening, Scott's playing a rugby game with our development side already in that head. And again, I think we're seeing some great fruits from that. So it's lovely to see. I want to talk a little bit about the anthem performance. As of the recording, the anthem have gone 0-2, losing to New England 44-13, the last year's champions, and losing to NOLA 34-19, but had a great second half, by the way. Additionally, that opening match that you guys, that the Anthem hosted right there in Charlotte had a total of 2,307 folks with not much of a run-up in terms of marketing. Okay, so Scott, I know it's early, but is this team meeting the expectations that maybe you had in that head, in that plan, once you had to move forward with the Anthem project in the MLR?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first expectation was to get started, and they had two games so far. So objective number one is done. From a reasonable expectation this year, so the things, you know, my influence in terms of high performance is to set some objectives for the coaches that work there, because their national team staff is to produce 10 professionals by next year. So guys that can be regular starting or contributing minutes players in the MLR out of that squad by next year. And then the stretch goal is to have one additional Eagle candidate other than Jake Turnbull, who's already there, come out of this team. So that's the objective for this year, at least from me. I think the wins and losses and, you know, performance of the team and where that shakes out is really kind of inconsequential to me. It probably matters more again to the MLR and World Rugby on the commercial side.
Yeah. And by the way, and I know you can't say this, so I'm saying it, Tyler Aljibori, I think he's got 3 tries in 2 games. He's doing a heck of a job. You know, his brother, of course, an Eagle himself, and it was a contributor to Major League Rugby in his own right. So it's great to see Tyron make a stamp on that team, certainly. But let me just say this, Scott. I love the idea of the Anthem, and I kind of knew it was in the background, the concept, whether it was through SLAR or Super Rugby Americas, as we now know it, or through the MLR. I love the idea because as you're going back to Penarol and Cheltenham, you know, this is the model of the teams that we're competing with in order to qualify. So what are we going to do to kind of get ourselves up to par? Because we were left behind, of course, in 2023. So more opportunities for young potential Eagles to train and play together. Love that idea. My biggest concern, this is just my personal concern, is what will happen if or when World Rugby money dries up. So is there a long-term financial plan for this program to be sustainable in the MLR?
I think it's going to be down to, you know, kind of the outcomes of the team. I mean, I think World Rugby is ultimately, you know, has that Cheltenham, Penarol, Black Lions kind of thought process. So if the team is not producing results for the national team, then I think that, you know, I think we'll see World Rugby evaluate that again. So that's objective one. I think the way that it's been constructed is it is its own company. It's its own business entity. So I'm sure there'll be interest in new investors coming on board. Charlotte is a good market. I'm sure that'll grow over time as it gets a foothold established and gets a fan base and things like that.
Yeah, 100%. It is a great sports market. It's a great sports town. You know, it's exciting to see it out east, and there's a lot of rugby out there. So those, you know, of course, with Old Glory nearby, not far from going north, up, you know, further up into, you know, New England. Of course, you can go down into Miami. So there's a lot of competitive rugby available there. But let's get a little bit into Charlotte itself. A lot of folks ask the question, why base it in Charlotte? Why not an existing location for USA Rugby that people are familiar with, Chula Vista or even Glendale? What was the attraction to that Charlotte market?
We had the Hawks program that's been operating out of Charlotte for just over a year. One, it is a good sports market in terms of the demographics and the age and an affluent market being a financial based city. So I think that was probably part of the thinking, but a smaller part was of it. The bigger part is infrastructure is there. There's good partnership with US Performance Center where, you know, we've had staff and a stadium that's a great stadium that we have a relationship with from USA Rugby side that the new entity was able to take advantage of. So I think, you know, if you think about the hard parts of starting a franchise, which is, you know, I've been through, it is finding a place to have as a home, having a stadium that is, you know, the overhead and the operations that go to setting up and running a game day and the rugby operations and commercial operations. So if all of those things are in place, the big rocks, so to speak, are in the cup and they can move quickly in terms of putting a team on the field. So I think expediency probably had a little bit to do with it as well.
I tell you what, that stadium, Veterans Memorial, is a really cool stadium. I think it's the perfect fit to what everybody's looking for in the MLR, right? You not too big that, you know, you could fill it. You could fill it so it looks great for optics on TV. You've got, you know, the all the other accoutrements that you're looking for in a that kind of stadium. So I think it could be a great venue, you know, at least for the next, you know, 3 to 5 years, most certainly until we see more growth within the MLR. So that's great to see. I want to throw a real quick question back before we begin to close this out, touching upon and bringing things together here, the MLR and our U18s and U20s. How important is it for you to get your eyes on those young lads as U18s, U20s? I know Alama was down there at the World Sevens Schools Championship in New Zealand in December. You're getting out to MLR squads. I know you said that you were down in New Orleans last weekend. You were in, I think it was Charlotte, you said the weekend before, and you're going to be coming into Chicago here in a few weeks. So, you know, how important is it for you to get your eyes on all that player pool that you've talked about developing?
Yeah, it's critical. You know, I think the nice part is with the Rugby Network, and, you know, I'm able to watch the collegiate games from some of the better programs. Being in Atlanta, I have a good collegiate program in my backyard that other good teams come to play, Life University. So I get to see those, and I do go and check those games out when I'm not on the road watching MLR games. So constantly looking at them. In terms of the 20s, it's really a captured environment, and I do spend time with the coaches. We do go over the player pool, and I will spend time in camp with the 20s again this year and their staff. And through that, you know, last year we were able to identify, after a long period of time and watching him develop, you know, Dom Bisag, we pulled straight from Kenya right up to the national team, and he was capped in Georgia and, you know, nearly the youngest player capped in history. And then, you know, we looked at Stefan Krimp. Unfortunately, he was injured, pulling him from the 20s into camp in November. So for me, in terms of the team and driving the average age of the Eagles down now for future growth, I'm very involved looking at those players. Not only do I get to see them when they're in camp for a longer period of time, but we also get good data on them. They get feedback. They get to get better. We can see how they perform at the international level and send them away with some real things that they can come back better on the next time.
That's awesome news. I think that's great for people in the rugby consuming public here in the United States to have a knowledge of just how much you're involved in those developmental pathways and have your pulse or the pulse of what's going on at each of those levels so that we put together the best Eagles program possible moving forward. One last question, and this one might be a bit controversial, but it's one I've always been interested in because as I think about, you know, New Zealand or South Africa or some of those other, you know, tier one nations, I think about the idea of, and we're right on the heels of the end of the HSBC 7 series. So, you know, alignment comes to mind for me, you know. So some fans are frustrated a little bit about the lack of alignment you know, which players can any players be shared? Should some gravitate towards 15? Should we pull some into the sevens? How do we disaggregate between which are sevens players and which 15 players? Should we disaggregate and figure out and make that, you know, definitive pathway? So is alignment necessary for the Eagles programs to reach the next level at the respective, you know, in the respective program, sevens and 15s?
Yeah, definitely is that, you know, I think it's a recognized issue at the moment. It's not something that's kind of fallen on deaf ears, and we're working our way through that. But I think the important thing to note right now is that there's an Olympics coming up this summer, and the sevens needs to have access to all the players that they need, and they do. And we want them to perform and get into the medal round. So right now, you know, sevens is the focus for if there's anybody on the edge, and it should be. And then after the Olympics, I think we're looking at a new cycle, and it gives us an opportunity to kind of tear the sheet of paper off and start fresh and draw that. But it's got to start again at that 18 to 21 year old level, that alignment, that investment into development that puts them at a place at 21, 22 years old where they can go either direction with basic skills, robustness physically, having a performance mindset, performance preparation and focus. All of those things are basic building blocks of a future player, whether in sevens and 15. So this age group is critical.
Well, it certainly sounds like to me you have very much a pulse on not only where things are at the developmental pathways, but what we as a union should be looking at for both sevens and 15s. It's great to hear. It's something that I've always said, as I knew you had your eyes on being the Eagles head coach, that you're the right man for the job. You understand USA Rugby. You understand rugby in the United States because you're one of us. And I think that's an important message. Scott, I don't know if I've left something out, but I want to give you an opportunity to have the floor to talk about anything that I missed or anything that's important, perhaps a message you want to send to all those fans of the Eagles that are out there listening to our program.
The big thing is just to reiterate how important these 20s are right now to the future of our national team and to our performance on a home World Cup. And they are the wood behind the arrow, so to speak. There's a tremendous amount of people, over 200 people that have already been involved in volunteering and putting their own capital behind this. And so, you know, we're looking for more to help us. You know, let's go for the moonshot together. And you can do that through usa.eagles/donate. So usa.eagles/donate, hit donation, choose the U20s, and then do the rest. And I can guarantee you nobody sees that account but me. And we look after the funds, and we're going to make sure that it goes directly to those players who need it. And it is allocated and won't go anywhere else. It'll go to the 20s.
That's great news. So rest assured, folks, your donation goes straight to helping those players that are going to be the future Eagles for 2027 and 2031. Again, let's not forget, as Scott mentioned, $16,300 per player to help them develop in the right training environment so they can prepare themselves to be that future. Please, if you have an opportunity to donate, please do. Go visit, I think I got it right, usa.eagles/donate. Is that right, Scott?
You get it right? That's right. Okay. Yep.
Okay, we'll put it out there. We'll link it below, but please have an opportunity. It will go to the right place. Have faith, have trust. I do. This is the man for the job, and he is going to take us to the next level. I promise you, you heard it here first. So with that, Scott, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on. You have a green light. Anytime you want to join me on the Rugby Rant and come on for an interview, the floor is yours, mate. It's always a pleasure to hear what's going on with the Eagles, and most certainly in this case, the development. Thank you so much, and I can't wait to see you at an MLR game this, well, spring and summer, as we see in the MLR schedule. So it's going to be exciting. Good luck, my friend, and let's get to that moonshot. Let's make the moonshot a reality.
Absolutely. We can do it. Thanks,
Fred. All right. Cheers. And once again, another episode of the Rugby Rant, done and dusted. Join us again. We're going to have Nick McCarthy, U.S. Eagles scrum half, and a Chicago Hound joining us very soon. I can't wait to have that happen. Stay tuned, folks. We're going to bring you more content, not only the rant, but quality interviews like this one. And we'll see you at the next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.